Hello everyone, this is Nina.
And Megan. Welcome to the Indigenous Explorations. You are listening to our podcast where we uncover the causes and effects of residential schools.
On today's episode, we'll be talking about St. Anne's Residential School and the trauma that was caused to those who went to the school.
Before we get into the specifics of this school and how it traumatized so many students and families, we are first going to give you a general idea on the land these events took place.
The original school was located at the Fort Albany Mission on Albany Island, Ontario. It was burnt down in 1939 and then was rebuilt and relocated to the north shore of the banks of the Albany River. Now Megan, what languages do you think they spoke there?
After doing my research, I have learned that the students who attended this school spoke languages such as Mohawk, Plains Cree, Ojibwe, Mi'kmaq, Inuktitut, Dene, and Algonquin.
Thank you for answering my question, Megan. Speaking of languages, I recently watched this movie called Indian Horrors, where it showed that if a kid spoke his or her language in class, the teacher would choke him or her with a bar of soap.
Yeah, I learned that when they choked the children with a bar of soap, they were trying to cleanse the student's mouth or their language because they thought that it wasn't holy or it wasn't part of Christianity.
Speaking about the physical punishment that these kids had to face at school, let's talk about a former student that attended the St. Anne Residential School.
Speaking about the students who attended the school, why don't we bring up a student who actually went to the school? Edmund Matatawabin was a former student who attended the school.
He and many others faced many physical punishments that traumatized the students.
There were a lot of things that traumatized the students who attended the school, but one thing that stood out to Edmund Matatawabin was that they made a homemade electric chair as the kids' punishment, but it also doubled as entertainment for the teachers.
Well, I think it's unbelievable that they even took their time to make a homemade electrical chair using materials that were found inside of the residential schools and stuff found outside of the residential schools to punish them for doing such little things like speaking their language or doing stuff that their elders taught them, and much more.
They also hit the students with objects and by their hand for, like I said, the littlest interactions for no reason at all.
One thing that also stood out to me while I was doing my research on Edmund was that he said in an interview with the CBC News, "As soon as I opened the door, she grabbed my shoulder, gave me a vicious slap across the face from behind, and hit the wall on the other side."
I think it's interesting that you brought that up because the schools, as you can tell, were very strict on the kids and very tough on the kids. They had many strict rules. And then eventually, when the kids leave the residential schools and they were old enough to go away from those toxic teachings, eventually they would probably teach the kids that way, which would then cause their trauma to be passed on and their kids would have the mental health issues that they had when they were kids or that they still have.
Speaking about mental health, people also got something called survivor's guilt, which they got after witnessing their peers or family dying or getting brutally injured by, for example, the electric chair, or as simple as getting hit by objects.
It's important that you brought that up, seeing that the discovery of the 215 bodies of the students in 2021 had a long-lasting impact on the St. Anne's Residential School survivors. As a result of the 215 kids being discovered at the Kamloops Residential School, many of the St. Anne's Residential School survivors have been stepping up and speaking their mind lately to Justin Trudeau and how it affected them and their mental health.
That's an interesting point, Megan. I read from Global News, and I quote, "Residential school survivor Evelyn Korkmaz is calling on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to release thousands of documents that detail the sexual and physical abuse of thousands of Indigenous children at St. Anne's Residential School in the last century," unquote.
So Nina, how do you think the government has been handling these accusations?
Well, from the same article, Korkmaz said, quote, "The federal government has not turned off 12,300 reports from Ontario Provincial Police investigations of violations at St. Anne's," which is located again in Fort Albany, Ontario. So Megan, what do you think about Evelyn's story and what she said to the Prime Minister?
So thinking about the survivors and the impacts that these effects had on them, I think that Evelyn made a good point in talking about how it's really important that you should step up and talk about how you survived and what happened in the residential schools. I think the government needs to be more serious about this situation and needs to bring up more and tell the police, like you said before, about the reports that he has been getting.
To add to your point, I think it's really important that we're talking about these two survivors, Edmund and Evelyn, because they both stood up for what they thought was right and for themselves, like telling us all the stories that the government has been keeping from us. They also show that they don't care what the consequences are for telling us what actually happened in these residential schools. They know that these stories would have a big impact on many Canadians.
So Megan, do you have anything else to add about the 215 kids?
Yeah, I would like to acknowledge the fact that after the 215 kids' discoveries, they have released in 2020 that 4,100 to 6,000 students have died at the St. Anne's Residential School as a result of the traumatic abuse they had endured.
I also recall Evelyn Corkmaz and how she said in an article that she also had the electric chair in her school.
Speaking of her time there, another one of the effects that a lot of kids that went to their residential schools had was addiction to drugs and alcohol. After reading an article, I saw that people from residential schools used the substances to drive their minds away from the traumatic events.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. There is also some representation at the end of the Indian Horse movie where when the main character saw his friend again after a few years, his friend was drinking alcohol a lot and just an alcoholic. And that ties in with the addiction and how people coped with their trauma. Thank you, Megan, for your input. And thank you all for listening to the Indigenous Explorations podcast. I hope you learned a lot about the residential school system and how it had and still has an impact on so many people.
I trust that you will all remember those who have been to these schools, have lost their lives, and so many other things that was a result of these horrible events.